welcome to Mic'd Up Match. This is Slim Sam, and we have a special episode for you today. Today, we have a superstar, Sikandar Raza, who's granted us an opportunity to have an interview. If you can tell from my voice, I'm absolutely excited. It's a dream come true. So thank you so much for having me.
Brother, as I said to you, it's just two humans talking to each other. Nothing more, nothing less.
Right. I'm going to start with, I'm a purist. I love test cricket. That's my favorite form of cricket. So what's your favorite form of cricket?
For me, the learning always came from test cricket. I always felt that if a player can excel in test cricket, he can play any other form of the game. Mm. Whereas if you are a top T20 cricketer, I don't think so. You'll have some sort of a success rate in test cricket. But I do think if you're a good successful test cricketer, there's a very good chance of you being a very good ODI and T20 player as well.
Mm-hmm. So, right, you are ranked 9th all-rounder in T20. That is right.
In ODI.
It's ODI.
Yeah.
In T20, which position are you? Do you know?
In the 20s, I think.
20s.
I don't know. I didn't check. Right. I don't know. I'm not a guy who checks. These are the things that were sent to me by a friend of mine. So when I had a look, and then the picture got out, and then everybody basically found out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened.
All right. Personally, as a fan, I'm obviously disappointed that we're not playing too many tests. Do you feel the same as players, or you just play whatever is in front of you?
I used to think like that till last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think because I was so caught up in the fact that Zimbabwe doesn't play too much cricket, which is a reality, but it's a reality that I cannot change.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped thinking about it.
Yes.
Why? Because I found that reality was taking me away from the fact that when Zimbabwe do get the games, maybe I wasn't performing because I was always very angry about the fact that we don't have a lot of cricket.
Mm-hmm.
So I just play what comes to me, to be honest, and try and do as well as I can.
Okay. So the upcoming series, UAE, I remember the last time we played them, I was sitting on that corner right there when it rained and everything happened. Does it feel like a revenge mission of some sort?
I don't believe in revenges, to be honest. I'm not a guy who believes in that. I don't take revenge. But if you ask me, do you remember that game? Yeah, I still remember that game. It's in my memory bank. It will remain there. But if you ask me, like, have you moved on? I would say, yes, I've moved on. I'll never forget that game, but I moved on because that game cannot hold me back. I've just got to keep going forward, try and do well. That game mustn't stop the result or mustn't affect the results of these games or any other games that Zimbabwe is going to play in future.
Mm-hmm.
So I've moved on and hopefully I can try and do better.
And how are the preparations going for the...
Yeah, we've had a very good 2 weeks camp, which is coming to an end now.
Mm-hmm.
So now basically the 15 has been announced and I'm sure it will be in the media soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to be very specific and make sure that our training is player a lot more player based on what they want and to make sure the players are in a good frame of mind and physically and technically as well for us to take on the challenge on Wednesday.
Yes. Now, when you're facing an opponent, do you do video research? Do you sit down as a team and watch the games they've played to try and figure out player weaknesses, or it's on a player to player basis? Like as a bowler, you think maybe if I see a batsman and learn.
No. Look, if there is something that's available, we all have a look. We'll all have a look at the brief footage about each individual batter and a bowler, what their strengths are, where do they bowl their majority of the deliveries, what the stock delivery, what's the change of pace, what's a surprise ball, whether it's a spinner or a fastball. So we all do that. So look, the more knowledge, the more information I have, I personally find it useful.
Okay. Now, speaking of the track, we are going to play this beautiful ground. I love this ground. Absolutely. Do you request a track or you just play on the track that they prepare, the curator?
No, we request a track as well. I think that's the beauty of our home fixture as well. But to be honest with you, Sports Club have been a very good both batting and bowling track. Mm-hmm. If your skill is good enough, I think you can always find runs and take wickets on this track as well. So we just ask groundsmen to prepare good tracks and that's about it.
Okay. Now, personally, as a player, you're an all-rounder. Clearly, which do you prefer? Do you prefer bowling? Do you prefer batting?
To be honest with you, I think it will be an injustice if I pick any or the other because there has been times when my batting hasn't fired and my bowling has kept me in the team, and there has been times when my bowling hasn't fired and batting has kept me in the team. So I think it'll be very difficult to divide the two. But what it has made me realize that my workload has gone a lot higher compared to the others, because I'll have to do my batting as much as I have to do my bowling. When others have done their bowling, they could have an easy time. I can't, because I have to do my fielding and then I have to do my bowling and batting. So my workload has gone a lot higher, but it's a workload that my body started to accept and manage, which is a great thing.
Yes. And you seem really vocal on the ground. Do you look forward to, like, eventually being like a captain, or is it something that comes naturally to you? You just are vocal when you're on the field?
Look, I think this is who I am. Also, you don't have to appoint someone to be a leader. I think leaders are just leaders. They'll shine in their own departments. They don't need a tag.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, it's just that what I find, if I can help with something, why must I not be vocal? Because at the end of the day, it's going to benefit the whole team, not just myself. So I'm not shy to speak my mind to my captain, or come up with the ideas, or see a batter and think this plan could work, or think outside the box, or take a chance, or take a risk. I'm never shy of that.
Okay.
And I think it's something that, or maybe it's because that's how I was brought up. At a very young, early age, I left home. Wanting to become a pilot and software engineer, hostels, making decisions on my own, learning with life. Life is a beautiful teacher. So all these things, and also now being exposed to different leagues as well, and you listen to other big guns that are there, and they come up with different plans regarding what the batter is doing. So you bring all that knowledge back to your country and you share it. And hopefully that experience, that knowledge can help us win games.
Yeah. Talking about that, how was the experience in the PSL this time round?
Oh, PSO was brilliant. PSO was fantastic. I just hope that I'm fully fit to play these games. There are a few things that I learned there that I would love to implement against UAE and going future as well in international games. If I could do that, I think there may be something to talk about.
And yeah, playing in the subcontinent, does it really help with people talk about the spinning tracks over there? So did you get a chance to talk to some legendary spinners or people who have been spinning the ball a bit more to learn a few tricks?
Definitely. Canada was brilliant because I had Sunil Narayan in my team, so that helped. Then when we went to Bangladesh as well, a lot of quality spinners there as well, have been a great chat with all. But it wasn't just spinners, it was the fact that you'll speak. For example, I had a great chat with Ravi Bupara because he was also my teammate at PSL, but I was with him in BPL as well.
Yeah.
How I could use his experience and his knowledge regarding the tracks, regarding to tackle, spin, seam, medium paces, things like just knowledge. I think if my mind can perceive an idea, I feel very confident to achieve it.
Now, talking about the local, the domestic league, there's been a lot of talk, like as fans as we talk, you know, we just talk.
You have all the right.
Sometimes you feel like it's not as competitive as it should be. Do you feel the same, or It's just talk. It's tough day when you're facing somebody that's coming at you.
I'll answer that question. Yes. But my question to you, why would you feel it's not as competitive as it should be? What is it missing?
We sometimes, as we look at it, the big players seem to handle the pressure of the bowlers, the local bowlers, a little bit better. And you have, like, big scores easier.
Okay.
So sometimes you feel like it's not, you know, like you're not really struggling.
But also at the same time, don't forget there'll be a youngster coming in who will represent Zimbabwe in the next 5 years. He'll be struggling, but he'll be learning at the same time.
Yes.
And if a senior cricketer isn't struggling, it's because he's faced the same bowler for over a number of years times, and he may have worked him out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find the scoring is easier. It doesn't matter whether I'm playing domestic or club cricket, I'm always nervous and itching that how I'm going to score and things like that. So for me, it's never the case. But if it may feel like that because the senior guys are scoring, it's because they've earned the right, because they've spent years in that domestic setup. My question is, if you say domestic is not competitive, how can it be competitive? We already have four teams.
Mm.
So the quality is a lot higher.
Yeah.
So, and all your national boys and senior boys are available, minus one or two who may be busy in the leagues. But so there's nothing from a player's point of view we can do to make it more competitive.
Yeah.
It is as competitive. Suddenly we can't hire someone from overseas to come and bowl at us.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to have to be your own boys bowling. So I find domestic very competitive and tough as well. So anyone who is successful in the domestic, believe you and me, he's done something right to be where he is. And if he's named in the national squad, he's done everything he possibly can to be here.
Yeah. Talking about the young boys, let's talk about the team of the young boys. What's his name? The one that was disbanded. What is the one that toured in England? The one which Kamunkang played.
Oh, Tinashe.
Tinashe. I'm talking about the team in itself where they had a setup of
the Rising Stars.
The Rising Stars.
Yeah.
Club and project.
We had Tinashe here from Rising.
Yeah.
Garava, Karl Mumba.
Yeah.
Ryan Bell, Faraz Akram, Tony.
So my question really is, the young guys that are coming up, are they as motivated? Do you see the hunger in the kids that are coming out from maybe the schools who are getting a chance to play with you in the domestic setup? Do you see the same hunger that those kids want to make it into the national team? Do you always feel somebody trying to get you jersey? Is basically what I'm trying to ask.
If someone is not, there is something majorly wrong. If someone is going through all the pain, 6 days of training under the sun, and having a better life to what he may have or may achieve, and not have that hunger, then there's something wrong. Personally, I find that the Rising Star was a fantastic project. And it doesn't have to, you can name it anything, but I genuinely, sincerely hope there is another academy. You can name it Zimbabwe Academy. I don't care about the name as long as there's something for the youngsters, because our growth and our development mustn't stop. If you look at the development Rising Star program, I think six of them have already made it to the national team.
Yes.
So that means it was successful. Look, Brandon Mabuta, by the way, was also part of that. He's also here. Ryan Bull was part of that. He's also here. So, you know, if doesn't matter which name you give it to the academy, but if we can find an academy as quickly as possible, that would give our youngsters a platform to train, to get better, and take my jersey as quickly as possibly. Also, in a way, it's good for me, because then I know that there's not just one, there's not two, there's three, four guys coming after my spot. What it will make me do is to work even harder and get even better. I think the biggest enemy of any player's growth could be the comfort zone. Once a player finds himself in a comfort zone, then I think that's the biggest enemy.
Okay, in betting, which position do you prefer?
Look, I've bet from 1 to 7, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, it's what the situation calls for. But because of two senior guys are missing, and if I get fully fit, if I play, I'll bat slightly higher in the order, and that's because I genuinely feel that senior cricketers must take more of a responsibility and try and win games for the country, and give a platform for the youngsters to just come in and express themselves.
All right, let's talk the World Cup that is coming.
Sure.
It's rather sad that we're not there, and as a nation, you saw collectively what happened.
Yes.
I remember that day like yesterday. But let's talk about what's going to happen. Who do you believe is the favorite for this current World Cup?
I'm not watching it.
You're not?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm actually quite surprised.
Yeah, best of luck to all the teams. I sincerely mean that. Best of luck to all the teams and to their fans. And I hope it's a great spectacle. I'm not watching it. I'm not interested.
Okay.
And people can call me whatever they that are. No, it's sore, it's bitter, whatever.
No, it's an honest answer. Yeah. Yeah. You said a few things after the qualifiers, and as fans, we absolutely agree. Cricket seems like they are shrinking the space instead of growing the space. You still hold the same sentiments?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do.
And hopefully one day they'll grow the game, because we really want.
Hopefully.
Because there are a lot of other teams, associate teams that are coming up, that are showing. So, especially the spectacle that we saw that were the qualifiers.
Like, also the World Cup is sometimes for some players is just one in their career, and you take that away, and he's got, when he retires, what has he got to show for?
Yeah. So yeah, okay, totally understandable. Right, let's take a break. Welcome back. So we were talking about this, and I was saying that as a fan, I'm really, really excited. So I remember a friend of mine, Simba at Legslip on Twitter, said, yes, I wouldn't be more proud of you, bro. Tell Sikanda how much you appreciate him as a player and as a role model. Get in there. So yeah, I wanted to say that the fans really, really, really appreciate you playing for the team, and I hope the sentiment gets there. And on that note, as fans, I know I'm on Twitter, I come to the ground, and I know fans can be brutal sometimes. So first of all, do you really read all the tweets that go out there on Twitter, and how does that affect your game?
Look, I think one thing is, I'll be very honest about that, I think it is very difficult to read all of them.
Yeah.
But I try and read as many as I possibly can. I try and I don't really reply to good or bad. I just read them. I like their tweets. If I actually enjoy it, I like it.
Yeah.
I just don't like it for the sake of it. If I like it, I'll hit the button like.
Yeah.
But now that you mentioned that, but But I think all your love, all your support gets to me eventually, sooner or later, but it always gets to me. And to be honest with you, I think in some of the difficult and dark days, I think it's that love that's kind of get me going. And I thank you for that. Thank you all for that.
So when you're in the fence shouting out, do you actually hear?
Yeah, I pretend not to hear, but I think the good and bad, put it this way, the good and the bad gets to me. I mean, I hear it. I just pretend that I haven't heard it.
Welcome back. And now I'm joined by the main man, Lizwe. How are you doing?
I'm great. Slightly delayed, but I'm here now. Great to have you, Raza. Slim's already done the introductions already. But thank you for joining us on Mike's and Match. We really value your participation, even online. We see you're active, you know, you're liking the tweets and stuff like that.
Brother, if I said to the Jay, if I like something, it doesn't have to be surrounding me. If I like something, I'm not a guy who's shy or be stingy in liking and retweeting and things like that.
Okay.
So if I genuinely like someone's work, regardless of what field they're in, you would see me.
All right. How do you deal with criticism online? Like when it comes to Twitter feedback after a poor performance, you know, how do you deal with that sort of thing? Because I mean, you're seeing what people are saying, definitely. So.
Yeah. Look, I said to Slim as well. Not everything gets to me, as in I can't read all the tweets, but some or few that I do. The thing that has worked for me is that I found a medium where a success doesn't take me too high and a failure doesn't bring me too down. And that goes with the criticism as well. No criticism will take me that low that I cannot get back up, and no praise can take me that high that my feet doesn't stay on the ground.
Okay. I'm referring to that because I might have said one or two words, not to you, but to the team. Especially around about a year ago, around the same time a year ago. We're playing the same team that we're going to be playing in the upcoming series, UAE. And that loss, you know, I was seated right. We're recording this at Centurion. So I was seated like a few meters from here watching the game, and it was just heartbreaking. And after that, I just went on a rant a bit. Said some terrible things. It's quite interesting to find out how you guys deal with that sort of bad criticism from the fans.
You have every right. You had every right to say what you had to say, man. It's fine.
No hard feelings.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because if there were hard feelings, we wouldn't be here, would we?
Yeah. Okay.
So, no hard feelings.
I remember at some point in time, I sat at the castle corner, which is probably the most vocal corner. Right.
The most troubled corner.
Yes. So, having sat near there, I have heard the praise. They sing when they're happy, they sing. When they are not happy, they express it. Yeah. Does it get for the distance? Sometimes somebody who's fielding there, I think I've seen a point where a player is actually requesting, I think, not to field there because there was a bit of abuse that was getting there. Now,
it's true.
So here, what I'm asking you as players, do you have a message for the fans, especially some who take it a bit too far?
Look, I think just at the end of the day, don't forget that we are also humans. Do not forget that we also have families. Do not forget that it's just a cricket match and not the end of the world. And do not treat it like that it's a life and death situation. That's also one of the best advices I had in my career as well. Tomorrow is the sun's going to rise. The life's going to go on. So I understand that as long as the abuse is directly at me, I don't have a problem with whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that our families and friends and relatives, our race, religion, color doesn't get involved with it. Otherwise, say whatever you want. Personally, I'm okay with that. And coming to your previous point, I think, yes, there has been a few times when I've asked a junior kid or someone who's younger than me or junior to me to get out of the castle corner, and I've gone there myself because maybe I can handle the abuse a bit better than him, and on the day, maybe he's not well, and I just want to kind of protect him. From the Casa Corner. So I've gone there myself, and what I try and do, I try and indulge them into some sort of a conversation with the fans, or have a humor, have a banter, and try and take the abuse away from them so that when the next time the kid goes there,
it's all right.
You know, he's a lot more relaxed. Okay. And I think when you see also the kids and the youngsters at the boundary line as well, and you're very close to those youngsters, just try and be encouraging, because don't forget he's finding his feet. And if you can help him from outside the park, it would only help the country and the team that he gets onto his feet quickly and start performing for the team as well. Yeah, you can abuse me as much as
you. Okay, that's the license to go at Raza. Talk about stadium atmospheres. Which cricket ground have you felt like the most pressure to perform coming from the crowd? Just basically the noise, the intimidation, you know, that sort of thing.
Bangladesh is up there. I don't get intimidated. I think even in Bangladesh, I would like to think so. I'm loved there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, if that place can be very abusive at times, but I haven't really felt that racial or any sort of abuse.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I have not received abuse. Anywhere overseas.
I mean, you're the darling of everyone.
don't know about that. But Canada was good. I didn't. APL was good. I didn't get abused at Sharjah, in Dubai, PSL Karachi, Abu Dhabi, Bangladesh, Chittagong, Dhaka, whichever, Khulna, Sylhet. I haven't really been.
Okay.
I think the only place I've actually been abused is Casablanca.
Yeah. So for all the places that you played, which is the most iconic? Like
Sports Club. Sports Club. I've got a very, very emotional bond attached to this place.
Okay.
If I'm in the country, there has not been a single day when I haven't been able to come to this ground. I come to this ground every day, even if it's just for a second, even if it's just to have a look, just to visualize whatever. I'll be here. I'm here every day.
Wow.
Even if it's just for a minute since I made my debut. Yeah. And if I'm in the country and if I'm in Harare,
you just make sure you come.
I just make sure here. Even if it's just for a minute, if you're not training, I just come here, have a look, absorb the atmosphere again, look at the ground and go home.
Okay. But when it comes to franchise cricket, you're representing Tuskers and their home ground is Queen's Sports Club, yeah?
Yeah.
How's Queen's compared to Harare Sports Club? Do you feel like that connection with Queen's as you do with Harare Sports Club? Or you just feel more at home at Harare Sports Club?
To be honest with you, and it's true, I don't get attached to things. I don't get attached to any materialistic thing. I get attached to people.
Okay.
I get attached to values, to morals, to principles, honesty, integrity, loyalty. These are things that I'll find myself getting attached to, not to places.
Okay.
They're both grounds.
One of those.
They're both made of bricks. Both have got a wicket at play, so I don't get attached to materialistic things.
All right. You mentioned a key.
Having said that, don't ask for a bat. I'm not giving
you. Well, the look for a bat. Bats, gloves, you know. Right? Actually, one of your jerseys that you gave me years back, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. No attachment. You mentioned a key point. I'm not sure if you've gone through it with Slim, yeah. But your role in the team as one of the top players. We're seeing now PJ Moore is vice captain, is announced vice captain. Hamilton is captain. And there's been talk that he might miss the first match, Hamilton. That means PJ should be perhaps leading the team. How do you feel your role comes into play as one of the senior players on the side?
I don't think so. My role has changed any bit. To me, at the end of the day, it makes no difference who's leading or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I was vocal when Hammy was captain, if I was vocal when BD was captain, why must it change because PJ is a captain? I will remain the information, the knowledge I have to share. I will remain the same. I will share with PJ. I will share with anyone. Anyone who asks me the right question, I'll give you the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to, or I'll try and work a plan or something. But on the park, we have to sometimes think on our feet.
Yeah.
So I try and do that. And if I can come up with something, I'll discuss with PJ. We'll try and implement. So for me, when it comes to helping my team, my role hasn't changed one bit.
Okay. That's because I had a discussion with Dean Duplessis. Well, it was on Twitter. Like, I mean, who are the key, you know, the core top group of senior people who could help PJ with some of the decision making?
Oh, I hope he didn't mention my name. There's other guys there.
Of course, I mean, like, we just grouped a couple of names, you know, Raza, Mpofu, Irvine, you know, Sean Williams, the more senior players who've been with the side for a number of years now. You'd expect that.
Having said that, some of the names that you mentioned, I'm a baby to them because they all made their debuts way ahead of me.
Oh yeah.
But it's nice to be put in that place where people look up to your opinion and ask you for your opinion, and most importantly, value your opinion. Don't just ask for it for the sake of asking.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always very humbling to be in that position where people can trust that you can come up with something that would help the team. So it's nice.
Okay. You've been in camp for a bit now, I understand.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Some of the kids are new to the side, to the group. which one of them has really caught your eye from the new boys who've come in?
Look, to be honest with you, the new boys that have actually come in is Tinashe and Tony.
Okay.
Rango's been with us. Brandon Mauda, I mean, has been with us. Ryan Burl has been with us, even though these guys are in and out and they're new, but they have been with us.
Okay.
So technically, I'm trying to think, am I missing anyone? I don't think so. It's only Tinashe. And Brian Chari has been with us as well, but in and out as well. So, you know, and I play franchise with him. So it's not really. So the only two kids that are new and are basically Tinashe and Tony, and I've been hugely impressed by both.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll find time and I can sit with Tony and have a word with how I think, what I do when I'm bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tinashe asks to ask me a few questions when I used to open and I can help him with something, I would not be shy.
Okay.
One thing I'm a huge believer on is that I must, before I disappear, because everybody's time is going to come to an end, and I'm very much aware of that, before I disappear, I must give Zimbabwe my replacement. I should be the one who should find him.
Okay.
And say, Zim, I think this boy is ready, and I'm going to take a step back. I'm done with my cricket. Thank you very much for the opportunity, but I'm giving you this boy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Whether you pick him or not, it's your
decision.
But I think this is part of me. This is the least I can do for Zimbabwe for giving me that opportunity. The least I can do is to basically say, my time is coming to an end. Thank you for very much. This guy is better than me, and I think he's the one who's going to take the country forward. I must find him, not just find him, help him.
Okay.
To be better than me. Not be scared that if he gets better than me, he can take my spot. No.
No.
I must find and help him to get better. Because if he's better than me, the country gets benefited. And that's the ultimate goal.
It's a fantastic attitude there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the next Sikandaraza.
Right, so in your cricketing career, who's the toughest batsman you had to bowl to and the toughest bowler you had to face?
Do I have to really answer that seriously?
Well, it's for the fans.
Okay. You know what? If it's for the fans, I'll keep it domestically because they'll know everybody.
Okay.
I would say the toughest batsman I have to bowl to is Christopher Mpofu and John Nimble.
Okay.
Yeah. And the toughest bowler I have faced is, to be honest with you,
you smash anyone.
No. To be honest with you, anyone who can roll his arm over within the 15 degrees will trouble me.
Okay.
I'm horrible when it comes to batting and nets. I look ugly. Lizway, you and Slim can trouble me right now.
Well, I'd love to.
This is absolutely surprised. Because they said Chris and Paul would bother him.
I can't get him.
Chris has been coming up, you know. He's
I know. Once in a while, he can swing the bat. It's really surprising to me.
John Nimbu. These guys are trouble me. Yeah, I can't.
Well, what about when it comes to international cricket?
Yeah.
A couple of international cricketers.
Look, I think the quickest spell I ever faced was from Mitchell Johnson in the Australia series. I think that was pretty sharp.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Trying to think. I think there was a spell from Pradeep from Sri Lanka when I was playing for the A, when I was debuting for my A series. That was the quickest one I've faced as well.
Wow.
A spell from Mashan Dilanga when I was just new to the national team, even on those Blue Oya tracks.
Yeah.
Was pretty. When it comes to spinners, I found Saeed Ajmal to be very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, look, to be honest with you, for me to be in trouble, it doesn't take much from the bowler.
Okay.
I'm 90% of the times in trouble.
There wasn't, no way. With the way you always giving us good totals, I mean, good averages half the time. So it's quite a shock, you know, that you'd face so much challenge. You look one of the most steady people on the pitch. You know?
Look unfazed, really, when you're batting. Even when you're bowling, it looks like even if you hit out of the park, the next ball is just coming.
Getting hit out of the park. One of the best advice I got from one of the spinners as well was never be scared to get hit. As a spinner, you be prepared to get hit because once someone's taking a chance on you, meaning he's also prepared to get out.
Oh.
So that opens a window. So it's a 50, risk 50, and reward 50. Thing, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not, look, you can hit me though. You can hit me a few times, no problem. No. But I'm coming at you to get you out.
I should get up and go to the next.
I'm coming at you to get you out. That's how my mindset works. But I tell you, maybe I'm a good faker when I'm batting, because if you guys think I look calm and composed,
from
I tell you,
stands,
yeah,
like
my teammates have got the pads on. They just know anytime, anything can happen.
So, okay, that's quite funny. When it comes to the national side, what would you say is the funniest character from all the guys? Can. I would give it to Chris and Pofu. I'm not sure, but you know,
we've got better clowns in the team. I'll be honest. I think I'm pretty.
You.
But look, I think people have their weird sense of humor.
Yeah.
I find all sense of humor pretty okay, but I think Sean Williams' idiotic sense of humor cracks me.
Yeah.
Craig Irwin's slow sense of humor cracks me up.
Yeah.
Trying to think, who's funny? Nah, look, I think these two guys are definitely up there. Trying to think, if there was anyone that. Jaik Mazrabani was very funny. Timson Maruma.
Okay, you know, okay.
He's by the way, Timson is a darling to this one. I find him. I just looking at him makes me laugh. So I think it's gonna be very trouble batting with him if I have to. Wow.
You know, who's the most serious guy when the chips are down? The guy who's gonna get in the changing room and shout at everyone type guy. The really serious type person.
We don't have. When the chips are down, we actually back each other even more.
Okay.
We don't shout at each other, but I think when it comes to standing up, I think myself, Taylor, we are not shy to speak our minds in the changing room and basically not abuse, but if we have to say some harsh things, we are not shy to.
Okay.
We say as it is.
Oh, yeah. Taylor, I can imagine. He looks.
I wouldn't want to get in his way when it's not in his.
But believe me, people may actually get this. Taylor is actually a very. Funny as well, but a very calm person as well. He brings a calmness in the changing room as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you don't want to get in his way when he's giving you the abuse, as we call it.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, he's actually advising you.
Yeah.
It's just how you want to take it.
Uh-huh.
He's actually saying those things for you to get better. It's not going to benefit him. It's only going to benefit you.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I tell you, he's not... If people think that he's always angry or he's always serious, no, man. Yeah. It's funny. Okay. Taylor's got some good humor on him. And he's got some great stories. He's been around for some time as well. So we enjoy his company.
Okay. You'd think the Rolls Royce is Craig Evan. You know, he's very chilled to the way he handles himself on the park.
Yes.
And I imagine in the changing room he's also just
no emotions. Stuff. Craig is just calm. Craig is calm. Craig brings calmness to the changing room, to the squad, to his friends, to the scenarios out there. Everything looks achievable when Craig's there.
Okay. What's Hamilton like in the changing room?
Quiet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always thought you were quiet.
Yeah.
Just the feeling that I got.
Never no, Craig's quiet as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Craig is just calm.
Okay.
Oh. Who's the best dressed in the team?
Oh, I was Timson Maruma, myself, PJ.
Okay. And the worst dressed.
Brendan Taylor, Malcolm Waller, Hamilton Masakadza.
Wow.
And I'm trying to think if I'm missing any. No. Yeah. So I'll give you 3-3.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Best dancer?
Best dancers will be Mavuta. Currently, Mavuta. Maruma.
Okay.
Like,
you thrown about it.
No, Bobby can throw some. Chris Mpofu can throw some moves that can surprise you. Yeah.
As a liar boy, you'd expect that.
Yeah. Bobby can throw. Bobby's definitely there. Yeah. So I'll give you 3 again. These 3.
Okay. Cool. All right. Just a bit on the cricket. Are you taking this match or this coming series as like a revenge sort of series?
No,
based on what's happened.
Everybody may be different, but for me, Lesbury, I don't believe in revenge. Said that to someone. I don't believe in revenge.
Yeah, clarify that.
I'm just taking the necessary that's come my way that I have to try and make sure as much as I can. Hopefully, inshallah, I'll be fully fit.
Yeah.
That I do well. Make sure my team wins. And whatever comes with it, the individual or the collective accolades, we accept that.
I was about to ask that. Any individual targets for the series? Like,
win.
Yes, win.
Contribute to win. Because one thing that I've been very blessed with is that yes, I've been part of a few leagues, but it has also hurt it that there hasn't been much Zimbabwean representation. Once we start winning collectively, I think it will raise all of our profiles a lot higher, a lot better. That can actually bring more opportunities to more Zimbabweans, as in my opinion, more and more Zimbabweans have to get out and play.
You've come out and offered tickets to fans or first-rounded fans that will be coming through
gate four to, is it the first match or all the matches?
All the matches. Look, okay. And I would like to say that there has been three more individuals that have joined in.
Yeah.
Brendan Taylor, PJ Moore, Kyle Jarvis have joined in and given for 50 for each match as well. So that's,
okay.
As it stands, 200 tickets per match that will be available on gate four.
Wow.
Every match. Wow. For our fans.
It's incredible. And part of the donations, part of the money is being raised to go to Cyclone Hidai.
One of the reasons why I came up with that was also, this is my first home series after a little fallout I had with Zetsi. And so
wow,
I
thought, so much has happened in a year.
Yeah, so I came back and I was thinking, how do I reward basically the fans who in my tougher times basically were there? And I thought the least I can do is try and help fans with the tickets, because I know Cyclone Die basically brought the whole country together. So even our fans, even with as little as $2 they may have had in their pockets, they've donated it towards our brothers and sisters who got affected. So I was coming up, I was thinking, what can I do to basically help? And I thought these guys have always been there, but they may not be able to come because of, they may have used those funds or resources that they had,
mm-hmm.
or they have for the Cyclone. So I thought, all right, I'll stand up and say, so I'll buy 50 tickets every game.
Wow.
And I want it to be first come, first serve, because I don't want anyone,
any bias,
I've trusted a friend of mine, Kuda Gaff, I trust him, and I picked a responsible one in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I thought Kuda will be the man who'll stand there at a time that's suitable for him, way before the game. If the game starts at 9:30, could be there at 8:00.
Mm-hmm.
So first 50 will go in free, and then because of our three more brothers have joined in, we've got 200
tickets.
And Kuda will be there until the last ticket is given to a fan to come in. I've also gone and reach out to a charity, Kids Can.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kids Can charity deals with kids with cancer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And I'm happy to bring 100 kids on a Sunday game.
Wow.
And the reason I haven't tweeted about that is because they haven't replied back, and that's because it's probably weekend. I messaged them yesterday.
Okay.
Hopefully by Monday I'll have a reply.
Okay.
And I'll bring out 100 kids on Sunday, because the money's going to go for the Cyclone Adai donation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the money will go there, and the kids will have their
good time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wow. Hopefully I can. I'm trying. No promises, but hopefully once it's concrete, I'll give more information. But I'm trying to organize lunch and something for them as well to enjoy the full day.
Okay. Oh, that's incredible. So very.
I'll reach out to Kids Can. I'm just waiting for their reply, hopefully. So we'll bring 100 kids with cancer. Unfortunately, we can pray that they all be healed quickly and sooner.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. I have their tickets. I just need a reply from them.
Okay.
So if I can use this podcast to reach out to Kids Can, you will see my message sitting in your inbox on Twitter. Please get back to me and make sure that it comes next Sunday. We can bring close to 100 kids, if I'm not mistaken. 100 kids, I think, for the game.
All right. It's a fantastic guest who's there from you, and the rest of the boys have joined in.
Thanks.
I mean, it's really important to also just show one or two things to bring the country together, where we'll have fun, hopefully, against UAE. And hopefully, while you're not about revenge, hopefully all of us,
for the fans, we can get redemption.
All I can ask you, the amount of time you're going to waste on finding revenge, maybe just find the same time to pray for myself to get better.
Yeah, okay.
Fully healed, and for our team to do well as well.
Okay.
I think that's the time, instead of you praying for revenge, you can pray for our health.
Absolutely.
And success.
Absolutely. All right. No, it's been great having you, Sikanda. It's been a lifetime of... dream to have you on the podcast. We've had so many other people, but it's always been, we've wanted to have Sikanda Raza, and we're very grateful for joining us.
Thanks.
And hopefully you'll be sharing around Mike Said Match. So from me, thank you, Slim, for handling the fort while I was away. But this is your field. Cricket is your thing. So I'm sure it was well done.
I absolutely enjoyed every moment of it. So keep on downloading the podcast. If you're on iTunes, please subscribe, like us, get other people to learn about the podcast and share it around. We appreciate the love that you're showing, the interactions that you're showing. So please continue doing that. And from me, Slim Sam, on Twitter, it's @SlimSam_. And from Liz Gwey,
@LizoC on Twitter. Just keep following us at Mike Said Match. And follow S Raza on Twitter as well. He's quite engaged. You'll see one or two of your tweets.
You like one or two of your tweets. Exactly. Somebody at home jumping up and down because you like the tweet.
No, it's a special feeling. All right, thank you, Raza.
Thank you, boys. Thank
nice
you
one.
Yeah, as a token of appreciation, I'll present my top, signed top to you guys as well.
To me, not to you.
No way, no way. And I will prove a point here, and I'm only doing this because there were a few tweets that I read regarding a top, so I thought it would be a good gesture to make this happen. So your tweets do come to me. It's just that not every tweet I can read sometimes, but the few I read, so Slim, this top is to you, but it's only because some of your very good friends wished you on Twitter. And tagged you.
Well done.
As you can see, I'm just getting it out.
Whoa. And now. Capital 263.